Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Union School District has a new virtual education program they're implementing in the fall that will allow students the opportunity to get some of their education online. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Gart Morris about the new program.
Big announcement from Union Public Schools, which is that you're going to make a virtual school experience available. We know that some schools have sort of dipped their toes, including the Union Public School District. But you guys are kind of looking to really get in the pool and starting with, what, about 100 students? Can you kind of explain the what's happening and why?
You bet. We've had a what we call a blended virtual model at our high school for since about 2012. It's been a very successful program where many of our students can take some of their classes online in a virtual environment, but still have some classes face-to-face. So what we've decided is that, and we see that, there's a need and parents are looking for a choice, and we want to provide a full virtual, an online virtual offering for our students grades 6 through 12. So next year is a pilot program. We're only going to take 100 students so we can assess how well we do this and keep it a smaller environment. As we modify and make changes, anytime you start a new program, there's always going to be changes. There's always going to be things we like and don't like about it. And with a smaller environment, that allows us to vet those things out and then grow it from there. This program will be all online. The students will have the option to take any of our face-to-face extracurricular offerings in the way of, let's say, band or orchestra or drama or athletics. They would attend that one class, but the rest of their coursework would be delivered online. So they would not be in a brick-and-mortar school during that time. This is a great thing for students who maybe the brick-and-mortar school hasn't been the right environment for them, or that we have some highly motivated students that are looking for a different path to their learning. It's a great opportunity. It's something we're going to try out. It's something that we think will grow as the years go. And so it's time to take that next step forward and as Union always does, provide some opportunities and reinvent ourselves in so to speak on how we offer education to our students in our district.
Okay, so let's clear up a couple of what I think are going to be the immediate misperceptions that people are going to have about this. One, this is awesome. All I got to do is just roll out of bed, log on, check in, read a couple things, and I'm done for the day. I'm guessing it's going to be a little more to it than that.
Sure. The target students that we look for, and we know this through research, and we know this through our own blended model, is that there are students that are successful in a virtual environment, and there are students that doesn't work for them. Being virtual doesn't mean that you get on, you spend 30 minutes online, and you get your education, and the rest of the time is free on your own. The parameters on most of the coursework that we use says that you can expect for an hour a day per course. So you're enrolled in six courses for your full day. You can expect that it's going to take you an hour a day for each one of those courses. So that's 6 hours a day, and that would be the minimum. Now, there are students who maybe can move through the material a little faster. There's some that may move through it a little slower. And we allow kids to, we have a minimum pacing that students will have to meet, but for students to work ahead, if they want to spend more hours working on their coursework, they can actually work ahead. Whereas in a traditional brick and mortar classroom, sometimes that's not possible because you're part of a group. Here, this is a little more individualized and you can work ahead, but virtual is not for everyone. It works for some, but it definitely does not work for others.
I would think for one thing, they'd have to be kind of self-starters or self-motivated, or else they'd have to have literally have a parent standing over their shoulder going, "You're not playing, right? You're doing your homework."
Right. Well, and it's both of those. It may be one or the other, but it's also both. I think students need to be very much self-motivated to be a virtual student. They need to be academically sound, to where, you know, they really feel responsible for their own learning. They don't need someone over their shoulder, but at the same time, they still need the support at home. They need the parent who is actively involved. You know, that, hey, are you doing your work? Let me see what you've done online today. Let me see the work you've accomplished. What are your grades? Staying on top of the student, you know, all the time. My own personal kids went through the UN virtual program, the blended model that we have, and that was part of my job, is to get online and look at the material they had done and look at their grades and look that they're submitting stuff on time and making progress, and not just leaving it up to, well, I hope that's what they're doing up in their room.
Lab rats and your
I have my own personal kids, and my kids benefited from it. All three of my students, my kids, would tell you that they had a very positive experience in our program, and that it gave them an opportunity to take an online course before they went to college. Because when you get to college, you are going to take some online courses.
Yep.
That's how the offerings are done at the college level. So taking them here with the safety net of a teacher and the safety net of the school, looking over and paying very close attention to your grades, allowed them to try it out without the fear of, doing it for the first time.
Working without a net. You bring up an interesting point, which is that there's definitely support from the school side as well. Like, there's a teacher assigned.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a certified teacher assigned to the students. And they monitor their progress. They answer questions. They facilitate, one of the things we want with these kids, and when I say facilitate, they facilitate that, that connection of the kid to their grade level building. We still want these virtual students to be part of the union community. I want them to be a part of a club at school if they want to be a part of a club. I want them to come to football games and basketball games and events, to go to prom, to attend dances or be involved in robotics club or something like that. I want them to have those opportunities. So this teacher also helps to make that connection, so that the parents and the student know what's going on at their grade level appropriate site and the opportunities that are available to them, keep that connection. If the student needs other supports, if they need counseling help, if they need extra tutoring outside of what the teacher provides, then we can hook them up with tutoring we have here available at our schools. We don't want them to be just virtual and then never see union. We want them to be a part of this incredible community, and so those kids living in our 28 square miles, I don't want them always at home. I want them to feel connected to a school community.
Well, yeah, because socialization is an important part of growing up and going to school.
Yep.
And you mentioned that they do have to live in the union district in order to participate here.
That is correct. Any student that wants to participate in our virtual program has to live within the union boundaries. If they are not currently enrolled as a student, they will have to enroll as a student at union. And they can't be dual enrolled. In other words, they can't be enrolled at union and also be enrolled part-time at another school let's say there's a homeschool consortium and they're receiving part of their education there. We can't do the dual enrollment. They have to be fully enrolled at union to participate in this program.
Okay. And so it's grade 6 through 12. They got to live in the district. They've got to be enrolled full-time. They cannot be enrolled in any other school program.
That's great. Yep.
Private or otherwise. You said it's going to be limited to 100 students, at least for the pilot program, which is the next school year?
Yes, for the 19-20 school year.
Gart Morris with Union Public Schools. Recently, the Ulagatalala EMS services were audited by the state, and the findings weren't good. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with State Auditor Cindy Bird about the findings.
I'm on with State Auditor Inspector Cindy Bird. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it very much.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our audits with you, Russell.
Outstanding. And I'm guessing we'll have a few to talk about here in the coming years. But this one, recently you guys completed an audit of the Ulagatalala Emergency Medical Services. And this is something that by constitutional mandate, you audit all EMS agencies in the state. Am I correct?
We audit all EMS districts that receive ad valorem taxes as a funding source.
Okay, and this certainly is one of those.
Yes.
So there was an audit done a few years back that uncovered some issues and some embezzlement, frankly, and they replaced their director. Time marches on, and obviously you guys have other stuff to do, but you recently completed an audit, and you told me this was for fiscal years 13 through 17?
Fiscal years 14 through 17.
14 through 17. So 14, 15, 16, 17. So four-year audit.
Yes.
And it's has apparently uncovered some pretty major issues. Can you kind of bullet point for us some of the findings of this most recent audit?
Sure. What we found was that there wasn't a lot of oversight by the board regarding the operations of this EMS district. We found that financial reports presented by the director to the board did not always accurately reflect the financial position of the district. The purchasing practices, there were problems with the documentation, including preparing purchase orders or claims prior to purchase, you know, maintaining the documentation, no management review. Specifically, there were problems with the credit card expenditures not being a proper use of EMS district funds. There were also some revolving funds that were obtained by the district that they needed to continue operations. However, over a period of years, this has turned into creating debt for the district, which is an indirect violation with the Constitution.
So, I mean, I glanced over this, and the audit is extensive, and its findings are published online by law so that any citizen can look at them. And the first thing that jumped out at me was right at the beginning of the findings, the board could not produce its bylaws, could not find a copy of its own bylaws. I'm a little stunned by that.
That is something that we always ask each district, because we want to make sure that anything that we are looking at, we're auditing back to the bylaws that were created and filed. And no, we could not find the bylaws for this district.
We also, apparently, we have employees that just didn't turn in time cards, or we had one person, I think, in management that was sort of overseeing time cards that changed her own time card without actually documenting it. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a mess.
Well, it is, and something else that was a little concerning about this process, whenever we go in and look at a district and the way it's operated, a lot of times the director will have a contract as to how the director is to be compensated. We were never able to obtain a signed copy of the contract that reflected the types of compensation the director would receive. And so as we were looking at this, we even found, even though we couldn't find a signed copy, we obtained an unsigned copy. But even then, the director received items for compensation in excess of what that contract reflected. I think some of the things were reimbursement for a cell phone bill, mileage reimbursement. There was a bonus of $7,500 given. So there were some things that if an entity plans to reimburse the management, being the director, those things need to be in writing. They need to clearly communicate what is an allowable expenditure and how they are going to compensate their employees.
Other disturbing thing, I'm looking at finding 15. The billing contract between the district and the billing vendor performs third-party billing services. They couldn't find the contract. This is the person who actually determines how much people are paying, right? And
the third-party vendor, they outsource the billing to a third-party vendor. And so this person or this company, once the run sheets for each EMS run is forwarded to this individual or this company, they are responsible for tracking the rates and billing the individual customers and making sure that each item that could have been billed was billed. I think we found evidence of not fully billing clients for the cost of the run, as well as sometimes overbilling.
And apparently there's no set policy for what those bills should be or what mileage on an ambulance run, how that would be charged. Or, I mean, it sounds like everything is just kind of hazy.
Those items are supposed to be set by the board in an open meeting. Those rate increases or the rates that they charge for each type of service offered. Once those rates are set, that's supposed to be given to their third-party contractor to make sure they're billing for the current rates. But yes, you're absolutely right. There were issues with that.
And were these open meetings happening the way that they were supposed to?
They did have open meetings. One of the problems that we found is whenever they went into an executive session, they did not keep minutes of those, which is required by law.
Okay. So they would go into closed session, and then we have no idea what happened in that closed session, and no minutes
exactly.
were kept. Okay, which is illegal. So I'm looking at, which is this, finding 11, bank reconciliations. As of the end of the fiscal year 2014, they could not find the bank reconciliations for the operating account, the sinking account, the miscellaneous account, or the storage account. Then by 2015, I guess they found the operating account, but the sinking account, miscellaneous account, and storage account are still missing. By 2016, they managed to find reconciliations for everything but the miscellaneous account. I mean, that seems like important information, what your bank accounts have in them, that a business would never lose those.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that you need to remember, either they communicated to us that those were lost. We have no evidence to satisfy us that they were ever performed. And if you don't have proper reconciliations, if you are not tracking your finances, then you don't know how much money you have to operate with. You can't determine your financial position.
So, I mean, so we've got problems with operating expenses, we've got problems with payroll, we've got problems with, you know, just keeping track of how much money's in the bank. Is there anything criminal going on here, or is it just apparently badly mismanaged?
I think that it is badly mismanaged. They could certainly tighten up their processes to ensure taxpayers that they're using their money wisely. As far as whether there is anything criminal, that would have to be determined by court of law. We have some questionable expenditures made that we have no proof that those were made for a reasonable operating expense of the EMS district. Some of them appear personal. So it does not look good.
So I'm guessing this is not the end of the story, that there will be subsequent investigation.
Well, whether the district attorney or the attorney general's office decides to get involved, I don't know about that. I know that once we issue our report, we do forward this on to those who have the authority to take it further.
Okay. Well, I know we're almost out of time, but can you just sort of summarize for me that this is the bottom line here is this is taxpayer money. This is ad valorem or property taxes that's being used to fund this agency, and apparently the money's not being handled properly.
Well, one of the things that would concern me if I was a taxpayer in this district, there have been bond issues that have been approved by the voters to fund the CMS district. I would want to know that they are going to put procedures in place immediately to take care of the money, to make sure that we're not asking for taxpayers to give them more money than what is absolutely needed to run the CMS district. And they need to make sure that the bonds that were approved are truly needed for operations.
And let's not gloss over the fact that they've basically gone into debt by using credit cards. And that's not kosher, right? That's not...
Right. Of more concern are the revolving funds that they are getting from local banks to continue general operations of the EMS district.
So they're borrowing money to keep the doors open and the lights on.
Yes.
State Auditor Cindy Byrd, special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.